After having had something to eat, I went to my landlord and told him that I had brought him his rent money. But he said he had nothing further to do in the matter and that I must go to the bailiffs who had marked my goods, and whatever they charged, I must pay. So I went to them and settled the affair very comfortably. For several weeks after this event, I was so indulged with the presence and the love of God, and with such transporting views of his power, faithfulness, and goodness, that my soul was carried above all the empty things of this perishing world, though I seldom knew what it was to have a sufficiency to eat. But who or what can give trouble when God gives peace? And truly my soul has proved the truth of these precious words many times. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Proverbs 15, verse 17. And many times have I found that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. With considerable toil and trouble, I at last succeeded in getting the promise of a house in what they called the Narrow Lane, near Bessus off Barn. For fear the man should run from his word, I packed all my traps on the very same day that I took the house, for I wanted to get away as bad as my landlord to get rid of me. At this very time I had not one single penny in the world, nor 6 pennyworth of bread in the house. I had about 2 days' work upon the loom, but I durst not stay until it was finished, lest my new landlord should hear of my poverty and stop me from going into his premises. So I rolled up the piece on the beam, and with the help of my brother and a horse and cart, we set off with the things. When we had arrived there and unloaded the things, we began to want something to eat and drink. I accordingly went to the public house and asked the landlord if he would let me have a little beer until I took home my work. I told him how things were with me, and his answer was, "Yes, I might have whatever I wished." I then called upon a shopkeeper, and having told him who I was and explained my situation, requested credit for a few provisions, saying that I hoped soon to be able to pay him. His reply was, "Yes, you may have anything you please that I have." Oh, how my soul looked on to see the angel of the Lord doing so wonderfully for me! Oh, how he can make a way for his dear tried ones in time of need! Oh, exclaimed my soul, he is indeed a very present help in trouble. Promise upon promise flowed in upon my soul, so that they appeared in every chapter of the Bible, to hang like clusters of grapes which my soul could eat and digest. Oh, how precious did I find the language of the prophet! Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I had now everything that my heart desired, plenty of provisions, a comfortable house, compared with the cellar, and the love, smiles, and mercy of God enjoyed within. Oh, the blessed joy and peace I had for some time in my new habitation! Everything for a long time seemed to go on better. One night, a short time after, I had a very remarkable dream. I thought that I was going to see my mother, and on the road I had to pass a farmhouse, and in turning the corner of a field near this farmhouse, I thought that I suddenly came upon a large black bull, which seemed by his appearance determined to attack me. I turned another way to avoid him, but I met him again. I then got into a way between 2 walls, where he made again his appearance and, rushing violently upon me, knocked me down. There I lay for a few moments, and he stood a few yards distant from me. Again he made his approach, for the purpose, as I thought, of making an end of me. I thought it was now all over, and that I must die upon the spot. But oh, what a spirit of prayer I felt in my dream to the Lord, that he would be with me this once and give me strength that I might come off more than conqueror. In a moment I felt as strong and as bold as a lion. When he came in with all his might, intending to toss me up into the air, I seized him by the horns, one with my right hand and the other with my left, and split him quite asunder from head to tail, dashed the two parts of him to the ground, one on each side of him. I then placed my right foot on one side of him, and my left foot on the other, shouting in triumph, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy! When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Micah 7, verse 8. I awoke out of my dream with the precious words in my mouth, and for some time could hardly persuade myself that it was a dream. Oh, the weight with which this lay upon my heart for weeks! I firmly believed it to be a token of some keen trial I had to endure, and hope at times sprung up that God would bring me through it because I had gained the victory in my dream. And exactly so it happened. Shortly after this dream, my wife was taken very ill, and instead of getting better, grew worse and worse, till at length I was obliged to call in a doctor, who, when he arrived and saw her, told us she was in a very bad fever. He likewise gave a strict charge that nobody should come into the house except one person to attend her. Oh, when he told me, my soul sank fathoms. "What shall I do," cried I, "with the poor children?" We then had four of them. Provisions were very dear. We were already in debt at the shop, and without a single friend who could do much for me. Attend to the work I had upon the loom I could not, for my wife became so bad that she was light-headed for several weeks, and we had not much else but what one neighbor or the other sent us, for the shopkeeper would not let us have anything more until we paid off the old score. One night I feared it would be almost too much for me, for the poor little children cried for some bread before they went to bed, and as not one morsel had I in the house to give them, they were obliged to go without. Oh, how the enemy did set on my soul that God had left me! "You have not one penny in the house," said he. "Your poor wife is not likely to live, and your children are starving for want. The shop is shut up, so that you cannot have one farthing's worth there." For a few moments, how I sank! Oh, the groans, the sighs, the wrestlings I had, that God would undertake for me. I told him that nothing was too hard for him. "Oh," cried I, "my dear Lord, appear for me. Let me once again see thine arm made bare and working for me as the God of providence." And how preciously did those sweet words come, which set all right and straight in a moment. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. 1 Kings 17, verse 6. Oh, the transports of joy I felt at the sound of these words. "What," said I, "the dear prophet of God, in the same place as I? And did God send him flesh and bread by ravens?" And I firmly believed that God would as surely appear for me in the morning as he had appeared for the prophet. Oh, what blessed submission and contentment did this produce in my soul! I felt heartily satisfied with my situation, and could bless God for my present afflictions. Oh, how sweet was that text, "The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Proverbs 10, verse 22. Oh, what a solid resting I felt on the love and faithfulness of a covenant God. Early the next morning, there was a knock at the door. I opened it and saw a person who called me out and asked me how my wife was and whether we had anything to subsist upon. I told him the truth and how we were off. He said he had no rest all night for thinking of me and that he had brought me a half guinea, and though he did not like my religion. I told him that the Lord knew my situation and that I had no doubt that he had sent him. I thanked him as the instrument, and then he left me. When he was gone, oh, the preciousness, the glory, the heavenly grandeur, and the solemn majesty in which my covenant God appeared to my soul. Oh, cried I, who is a God like unto my God, and that has sent a raven to feed me? Indeed, I could see nothing but the goodness, mercy, and kindness of my God and Savior on the right hand and on the left. Oh, the preciousness of a wonder-working God in such scenes as these! It is indeed making darkness light and crooked things straight. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God, and beside me is none else. Isaiah 43:11-12. The tongue fails to express his glory and honor. The human language is completely beggared in setting forth a thousandth part of his worth and glory. Words are but air, and tongues but clay, but thy compassions all divine. But now I come to explain what I had been shown in my dream. A person with whom we had dealt for a long time for provisions sent for me one day and asked me to pay him the money I owed him, which was about £7, and for he said he must have it. I told him the situation in which I then was and had been for a long time and begged him to have a little patience with me, and I hoped I should be able to pay him. He was very rough with me, and said he would have the money by some means or other. I now had fresh work for faith and prayer. On the following Saturday morning, as I was returning from the doctor's house, I met my creditor going to the market. He stopped and asked me if I was coming to pay him on Monday. If I did not, he said he was determined to put me to trouble. I burst into a flood of tears and begged him to have a little pity upon me. I told him how long the fever had been in the house and that I had not one penny in the world. I hoped, I said, that my wife was now getting a little better and that in a short time I should be able to bring him some money, which I would do then with pleasure. But he turned round and cursed me, declaring that if I did not pay him on Monday, and he lived till Tuesday, he would put me into trouble. With this, off he went, and my poor soul sank fathoms in a moment. Oh, how these words did sink me down. The evil that I feared has come upon me. Oh, what a day of misery I passed. Sometimes I feared that I should sink into hopeless despair. I could no more believe that God would deliver me than that I could make a world. My body was weak with loss of rest and want of food. My children were almost starving. My wife, being a little better, was longing for something to nourish her. The devil was roaring in my ears, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and take him. Access to the throne of grace was blocked up. The Bible was a sealed book, and the uncircumcised were rejoicing. Ah, so would we have it. My knees shook under me. Rottenness entered my very bones. My lips quivered, and I felt as if every moment I should drop into the arms of death. Oh, how I cried out. My soul chooseth strangling and death rather than life. Job 7:15. Just at the time of my greatest sinking, a neighbor who had been in Manchester called upon me and said that he had been doing some business that day with a Mr. Clegg, a deacon of the church of which I was a member, and that he had inquired of him whether he knew a man in his neighborhood named John Warburton, and upon his answering that he did, had asked very particularly whether I was well, saying he had not seen me in Manchester for several weeks. My neighbor told him that my wife was very ill of a fever, and had been so for a long time, and indeed, added he, the poor man must be badly off. The dear old gentleman was quite surprised to hear it, and gave the man a particular charge to call on me as he went home, and tell me to come to Manchester the following day, as he wanted to see me. Upon hearing what the man said, I felt hope spring up, and that precious text flowed in upon my soul with sweetness. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42, verse 11. Oh, what a sweet opening to my God I had during the greater part of Saturday night. My soul could now cast all her care upon him, and promise after promise flowed sweetly and preciously into my heart, and I verily believed that the Lord would appear for me. On the Lord's Day morning I went to Manchester, and saw Mr. Clegg, who was very sorry to hear that I had the fever in the house, and that I had been so sorely tried. He wondered that I had not been over to let him know, as he had told me before to be sure and inform him if I was in any distress. He bade me tell him my situation exactly as I stood. I told him how long my poor wife had been ill of the fever, and the conflicts of bitterness and the seasons of joy I had passed through, till the dear old man wept like a child. I explained to him the situation in which I was placed by a creditor, who threatened to put me to trouble on the following Tuesday, and I was so overcome by my feelings that I could no longer hold but burst out, "Oh, sir, sir, my greatest trouble is that I am afraid the cause of God will be blasphemed on my account." The old gentleman's feelings were as much as overcome as my own. He seized me by the hand and said, "My dear brother, the Lord has given me plenty, and you shall have the money." He went directly and brought me back the full money for the debt, and with a little besides for present support. No sooner was the money laid down than the very text which I awoke with from my dream came into my mind, with such power that I had hard work to keep from shutting it out in the house. Rejoice from shouting it out in the house. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I left the old gentleman wishing me 1,000 blessings, and my soul wished all the mercies and blessings that God had given upon both his body and his soul for time and eternity. I hastened home as quickly as possible, for I had left my wife very low, and I longed to tell her what great things the Lord had done for us, though at that time she knew him not as her portion and her all. I now clearly saw my dream opened up. I saw who was the bull, but how he was to be split in two, I could not yet find out, nor did I trouble myself about it. I knew that the Lord had wrought out a wonderful deliverance for me, and that was enough. Oh, the sweet journey I had home! The number of times I looked at the money, and blessed and thanked and adored and extolled my covenant God, for all his wonderful goodness to one so vile and so unworthy of the least of all his mercies. I cannot express the joy and gladness, the humility, love, and praise of my heart. It beggars all language to tell. Upon reaching home, I told my wife of the goodness and loving kindness of God in providing the whole of the money for my debt. I showed her the money, and poor thing, she wept like a child upon seeing it. Oh, what a heavenly night I had in viewing the everlasting love, mercy, grace, and kindness of my God and Savior, in loving, choosing, redeeming, calling, justifying, preserving, feeding, and providing for so poor, so helpless, so fearful, so unbelieving, and so base a wretch as I. My soul could give him all the glory. I needed no one to tell me it was my duty and privilege to crown him Lord of all. It was my very meat and drink to exclaim, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. On the Monday morning I went to the man to whom I owed the money, and told him that I had come to discharge my debt, for the Lord had provided me with the money, and that I had more pleasure in paying than he had in receiving it. He took the money, and I came away. On the very Friday following, if I recollect aright, his wife was attacked with a fever and died in a few days, leaving him with a large family of young children. And although at this time he was doing very well in business, yet in less than 12 months his goods were sold, his poor children taken to the workhouse, and he himself reduced to want and bread. Thus I saw my dream fully interpreted. Oh, may my soul never forget the boundless mercies that God has caused to pass before me, a poor worm. Surely I am the greatest debtor to mercy upon earth. The kindness of an indulgent God and Father has so wonderfully appeared for me in every time of need, just as it were by the skin of the teeth. Job 19, verse 20. When all human hope has been taken away, then he has appeared. When there has been no earthly arm to help and no mortal eye to pity, then has he made bare his arm and wrought a deliverance both in providence and in grace. He has ever proved himself my prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God, and has never yet failed me, notwithstanding all my unbelief and wretchedness and unworthiness.